Hello everyone, I hope you are keeping well. Welcome to another episode of the Middle Age Gaming Podcast, the number one show where we talk about games, gaming philosophy, predictions, and pretty much everything under the sun. Your hosts are Adam, Crean, Antoine, and Phil. Pretty much whoever can be there for the show because, as you know, Middle Age gamers are busy. We have family, commitments, work, and so many other things. Enough said, let's get on with the show. Good morning and evening, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of your favorite middle-aged gaming show. Today, we are back talking about another really famous game or AAA game. We have to apologize as well if you were expecting a stream on Tuesday evening American time or Canadian time and Wednesday morning Taiwanese time. That is not happening because there is something going on with Taiwanese ISPs or the internet. We're not sure what it is. I've had issues. Adam's had issues. So we apologize. At least for the moment, streaming will be put on hold until the ISPs fix their issues or we figure out some sort of magical solution to it. Enough of the housekeeping. We have a bit of other stuff to say at the end of the show. Today, we are talking about a game that I'm not very familiar with, but a game that I'm looking forward to playing and a game I will probably pick up at full Switch price, which is Metal Slug Tactics. If you're listening to this now on the podcast or you're watching the YouTube video, you probably want to skip about 20 minutes ahead to just hear this part. Because as usual, we try to give you guys an idea, like for people who are listening to this again or listening to this later, right, what games should you be playing? What games have we been playing continuously? What's our progress? It's like, is there a point in Hearthstone? No, that is a bad example. Is there a point in Dragon Quest Builders 2 where I'm like, oh my God, Crane's hit this point. This makes me realize I don't want to buy this game, so I'm not going to buy it. But before I get into my games, of course, we have to start off with Antoine first. So Antoine, what have you been playing? Where are you in the game?
So as usual, I'm playing Tales of Arise, and I had a day off actually for the past 2 days. So I had a long weekend. So I tried to rush it a little bit because Sniper Elite is getting out in 3 days already. So I'm trying to finish Tales of Arise, and I think I have still a long road ahead of me. But basically, I finished the fourth region. There have been some development in the scenarios, which I'm not going to reveal. But as you might, it's not a spoiler because it's, I think it was in the trailers, but your main character has amnesia due to the mask he's wearing. At the point of the game, the amnesia is gone and you had a big background storytelling. And again, I'm putting this Tales of as my number one right now of the Tales of series, even better than Berseria that I really liked. And it's extremely cool. It's not disappointing. The only disappointment is the fishing part, because the gameplay on the fishing part is it's not horrible. You can get used to it. It's really not intuitive compared to how so the whole combat system is done. They have a lot of experience. Of course, I do. But the combat is extremely good, even more intuitive. I only realized some tactics or some combat thingy that you could do. I only realized I could do it at the end of the game. Here, no, you have plenty of commands, but it's all very well thought and very easy to understand. And no, combat-wise, it's great. Story-wise, it's great. Too many cutscenes. Depend on how you like cutscenes. But yeah, even for me, that's quite a lot of cutscenes. Anyway, as usual, I don't remember which mark I gave it last week. Was it at 15 or 16? I think I will put it this week. I'm getting close to the end. I've not been disappointed at all, so I will put it at 17 at the moment. And it will depend on the bad guy of the game, because at this moment, we don't really have one bad guy. It's splitted in 5 regions with 5 rulers of each region, which would be 5 bad guys. Of course, as every region is different, but on the last region at the moment, and this bad guy seems to be the big bad guy, we'll see. Depending on his backstory and how the game is going to evolve, at this moment, it's a 17. It could really well to go to 18, depending on the bad guy, which is why FF15 lost a lot of points, because I really hated the backstory of the bad guy. It was not well written. So it's very important to have a good bad guy. Sephiroth in FF7 was a great bad guy and did a lot for the story. So Adam, very happy. And I'll tell you more, yeah, maybe next week, absolutely.
Since you brought up Final Fantasy and we can't go an episode without mentioning it, I have a Final Fantasy question. I saw something in the news this week, and you guys can tell me, Final Fantasy 15 was
supposed to be made by somebody and then it was canceled or something like that?
It was supposed to be 13 verses.
Oh, okay.
No, the canceled thing was the guy who makes Final Fantasy 14 is also the same guy who's making Final Fantasy 16. But he was saying that his original, when he first came to, the first game that he worked on, or his team worked on, was supposed to be a Souls and had a lot in common with Bloodborne. So he was saying that it was funny how many parallels there were between the game that he was originally working on and Bloodborne, and later on that game got canceled. It wasn't a Final Fantasy project, though.
So it wasn't like a Final Fantasy Dark Souls?
No, and it was supposed to be made before Bloodborne. Yeah, so it was supposed to be made before Bloodborne, but they were saying that they had a lot of interesting things, like they had the trick weapon thing, weapons that transform, that was part of it. A lot of the weapon designs were very similar. The setting was very similar. There were some other things in there, but he was saying that basically they were working on a game that later on, and he says this is probably just likely coincidence, but yeah, he was working on a game that had a lot of similarities with Bloodborne. That game got canceled, and then later on he ends up doing 14, and now he's doing 16.
Coincidence, okay. Yeah. Hey, we like those.
Because FromSoft and Square Enix are two different companies, unless somebody's stealing secrets, which is unlikely. But I think it was after Dark Souls, but before Bloodborne, yeah.
Okay.
And you're still playing Norman Reedus?
Yes, I am playing the Norman Reedus simulator. So it's fantastic. The shower scenes are very well done. Tasteful. Yeah. So I am on chapter 6 or 7. I guess I'm actually maybe in chapter 8 now. But I think there are 14 chapters in all, which I only have one more city to connect in the Central America area. So, or Central USA, or they call it UCA now. So I have one more city to connect. I still have some preppers that need to be connected as well. But yeah, I'm on my way to Edge Not City, but I'm only about halfway through the chapters. I think there's 14 chapters in all, but vary in length. So I'm not sure how much of the game I have left, because some of the chapters, you're connecting multiple cities and there's multiple story beats, and other chapters are one boss fight. So yeah, we'll see. I would say I'm probably a little over halfway done. I've already, of the characters that seem to be pretty major to the game, you have Die Hardman, Deadman, Mama, and Hartman, and I've already done the Mama and the Deadman chapters, so that would leave, and then I'm on my way to Hartman, and then that means that the only other mysterious person would be Die Hardman, so I'm getting pretty close to the end.
Nice. I like how Anton put it towards the end with the score, like comparing your last week's hypothetical score to this week's hypothetical score, what would it be? Feeling better about the game, feeling worse, enjoying it more, enjoying it?
I would say in a way, I'm enjoying it the same, but I would say that in a way I'm enjoying it more. Basically what's happening is because last week I was spending a lot of time connecting all the different nodes across the map. So it was it's not something you have to do, but it's something I wanted to do. So I was doing chores and I was really enjoying that. But now that I've gotten most of that knocked out of the way, I can focus on story. So the story's coming a lot faster right now. So in that sense, I think I'm probably enjoying it more, because it's not so much I'm doing the same thing over and over again for fun. I'm actually progressing. So in that sense, I think I'm having a little more fun with it. But I don't think my enjoyment of the game itself has changed.
Okay, nice. I gotta say, Antoine's segue into talking about Death Stranding was pretty awesome. I like that.
Reedus Simulator.
Yeah, and yeah. He mentioned that. Did you see the tweet? He came out and said that they're already starting working on Death Stranding 2. Did you see the tweet that Kojima released?
No, what did he say?
Kojima released a tweet, and it's go back to your private room, which your private room is a big thing in Death Stranding. So he says, go back to your private room, and it's a picture of him standing behind Norman Reedus holding the Negan bat from Walking Dead. You're not supposed to be talking about this yet, but they're all good. Like, and then Norman Reedus is like, on the ground, so doing the Death Stranding thing. You know, they're having some fun with it. You can tell they're good friends and they're enjoying themselves. So, yeah, I'm curious to see where it's going to go with that, because the whole point of the first game is reconnecting the country. And obviously, by the end of the game, I'm assuming we're going to have done that. I don't know. Maybe I guess I'll have to reach the end of the game to see how there's going to be a sequel. But
yeah, exactly. Just wait for the story. It's a Kojima story, so it's very convoluted.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure if this was one of those things where like the end is going to be in such a place where you could do a sequel, or if it's just one of those things where the end's pretty cut and dry, and they're just going to have to come up with some new excuse. So I'm excited to find out. That's fine. Yeah. Yeah, like in the Metal Gear Solid, you can always say, oh, there's a new mission. So it's not a big deal to have a new one. But in this one, yeah, the entire point is to reconnect the U.S. And I'm like, if I accomplish that, what's my next goal? Yeah, reconnect the world. Yeah. Oh, reconnect Canada. There you go. But then it wouldn't be the UCA anymore. It'd be the UCNA.
I'll take it.
Hey, this training took a long time to make. It was like 5 years or something like that.
I don't know. It's just funny because I keep doing these games where I don't play them on time. And then I play them finally years after they're supposed to be done. And then when I finally get around to playing them, they suddenly announce they're doing the next one.
It makes a weird coincidence. Like, maybe the next one's not going to come out until 2025 or something. Possibly. Like that. That's impressive.
Yeah. And we're still waiting on news of Fantasy VII Remake as well. So
I was trying to say Star Citizen there.
Nope. We have news on that. It's not coming out until
2027.
Yeah, 2027, 2023. But the Xbox... The Bethesda thing is coming soon, right? When's that?
Starfield?
No, the Bethesda showcase.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Because I believe beginning of June, you have Diablo Immortal coming up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, Diablo Immortal next week.
Yep. And I think the showcase is right after.
So I'm going to install Immortal on my phone if it's possible and then give it a go there.
Isn't Immortal coming to PC too?
Yeah, but the problem with PC is there's no upscaling. It's just literally a phone port. So there's no upscaling. There's no resized UI. Guys, I watched a YouTube video and they said it's pretty much the phone UI is on a PC, which doesn't make sense.
But you still have all the little like things on your screen?
And it's sized for a phone.
This is a tiny little wearable. Come on, guys. Genshin Impact can do it. Get with it.
Maybe you can run on BlueStacks.
No, but you can play it on
PC.
He's
saying it would be zero. There'd be zero difference between playing it on BlueStacks and playing it on your PC. Your PC is basically just, it's got a built
launcher. It's an official Blizzard release, but it's just, it's available on PC. And I think they just did it to appease PC gamers without appeasing PC gamers with 4K resolution or resized UI. No, it's
lazy.
That does not give me any confidence in the new Blizzard.
We are really seeing.
Maybe it'll be because the phone version of people have played on the phone. I said, actually, it's nice on a phone. So maybe I'll say the same thing because I'll probably give that a go next week at some point and see how it runs on my phone. But before we get into Metal Slug Tactics, I'm still ongoing with the Dragon Quest Builders 2 and still Orcsmust Die, still Hearthstone, still Deep Rock Galactic with all the different people that I play with. But at Deep Rock Galactic, I'm enjoying. It's nice in that, like, because basically it's just like procedurally generated missions, and you just do missions to get new weapons. Pretty much that's where my brothers and I are at the moment. Pretty good. I would say probably like for about 30 hours of group play. I would say after the first 15 hours or so, the game drops down from like a 9 out of 10 to like a 7 out of 10, just because you've pretty much seen everything. The fantastic part of the game is when you finish the mission and you have 2 minutes to run to the exit before the rocket leaves and you're stuck on an asteroid full of bugs that want to eat you. Otherwise, it's Hearthstone, this season's going pretty well. Lots of fun. I'm actually wanting to play it and stream it. So I tested out my Hearthstone streaming setup on the weekend because I had to redo the deck tracker and the overlay and that sort of stuff. Lots of like really interesting decks, lots of interesting ideas of trolling somebody. Like there are some really cool trolling decks that I do get a little bit of enjoyment out, I have to say that much, where you play and the other guy's, oh my God, this guy's losing. And then you just kick their ass in the end because, like, oh no, this is totally true. It's one of those decks where you can't do anything about the win condition. You can't beat my win condition if you don't beat me before like 10 minutes into the game. And I just win it.
Actually, I wanted to ask you about this, actually, because Hearthstone has been released years ago. And for new players like me to come into it, it's too old and too developed for me to get into it, because I know that I'll never be able to beat a guy like Kryn. really. I wanted to ask, since you do this, you can record and do, I don't know, maybe an explanation or tips and tricks, or you know, so I can understand why the guy in front of you has no chance of kicking, because right now I just see some card and I don't read the description, so I don't really understand what's happening.
No, like even for new players at the moment, like there's a few YouTubers, they do free-to-play runs. If you started and you didn't pay any, God, how many hours would that be? In about 150 hours, without paying any money, you'd get a competitive deck.
Only 150 hours?
150 hours. But if you're like me, I think it was 1 year, going back to 2016, where I did not buy, no, maybe it's 2018, I did not buy one expansion, but others, like I bought every single expansion of $50 since the game's come up. I spent like $300 a year for the last 6 years. So it's, I definitely plan to, if the sort of stars align and things work out, I will definitely try to stream Hearthstone once a week.
Yeah, no, if you have time, it's just because I'm interested in it. It's just like, I'm not interested in spending 150 hours to start having fun about it. So if an experienced player can already say, hey, here's what's happening, and I'm going to kick his butt.
But like with most card games, right, like you buy the most recent sets, you pay about $100. And I think most middle-aged gamers, like our age, if you're working in an established career, $100 is neither here nor there, and you're in, and pretty much you've got a competitive deck just by buying the last two expansions.
Yeah, I'm just not a big fan of pay to win and stuff.
Yeah, no, Hearthstone is definitely not pay to win. There's the most competitive decks are like the decks not with these like fantastic legendary cards. They're not like that. If you put a deck with the most expensive cards, you wouldn't win. It's unfortunately, if Hearthstone was pay to win, I'd be winning all the time because I paid more.
But you have an advantage if you pay more because you have more cards to choose from when building your deck, right?
Yes, but some cards are, there's just no synergies in the cards. So it's the way Hearthstone has moved towards in the last 2 years or so, has moved towards deck archetypes where there is no, I would say you go back 4 years ago where there was a kind of deck which is like a control deck where you just put all these like really high-end cards in it and you just sort of grind out your opponent. Whatever they play, you just destroy it, and then you just win because you have all the best cards. It doesn't work like that anymore, unfortunately, because you have aggressive and defensive decks. But we won't make this a Hearthstone episode. Last thing I want to talk about is Dragon Quest Builders 2. It is still ongoing. I was telling my brothers, I understand why people pay $60 for Nintendo games, because there's just so much freaking value in them. I can see this part where I thought I was getting close to being finished. I can see this going on for another 40 to 50 hours of this. So given that I will be playing this less because I'll be playing Sniper Elite with Adam on the weekends now. So I can see myself playing this game until December of 2022, just because I only play this for about an hour or so a day otherwise. Yeah. All right, guys, it is 9:30 p.m. So people who have skipped the intro section, ready to talk about Metal Slug Tactics. Now, I will caveat this and say I've heard of Metal Slug games. I think most people our age would have played Metal Slug in the arcades at some point. Like, this is how I knew Metal Slug, and I was always envious of people who had Metal Slug on the PlayStation. I think Metal Slug was on the PlayStation, original PlayStation 1 back in the day, right?
If it was, I never saw it, but maybe.
Okay, I remember having friends with PS2, PS1. I don't think I ever had a friend with the PS1 back in the day, but with the PS2, seeing Metal Slug games and seeing it in the arcade. It might have been on Nintendo as well. And I was like, okay, this looks cool. Most recently in Taiwan, going back about 5-6 years ago, there was like another sort of strategy, not like a tactics game, that was really big on mobile, microtransactions, that sort of stuff. But Metal Slug, Adam, as usual, you are first. Tell us about your thoughts.
I'm always super excited about SRPGs or TRPGs, depending on which terminology you want to use. So yeah, I remember when this was E3 when they announced this, that did we mention this on our E3 episode, like last year, I think?
I don't think so.
Okay. Or maybe we were talking about games that we were looking forward to or something. I don't remember. But I think we've mentioned this game before. So yeah, I've always liked the tactical kind of games. So I'm really excited about this. I don't actually know too much about what is going on here, but I saw like they said something about roguelike elements.
Yes.
So I guess, what do they mean there?
It's just this sort of very typical like roguelike structure. Through each playthrough, you get advantages which hold through until the next playthrough.
Okay.
So like when you die, you get to choose plus 5%. I'm thinking of Everspace at the moment, plus 5% cannon damage, or in like a Dead cells, dead cells, and you get like this weapon and that weapon, and eventually after enough playthroughs, you get to finish the entire game.
Yeah, because I wasn't quite sure what they were talking about there, because I was thinking the procedurally generated dungeons kind of thing, and I was like, oh, in these games you can, as always, you typically have maps that are preset, but then yeah, the way that you fight enemies is always different every single time. They don't usually have preset locations where they start, unless you're playing Valkyria Chronicles, which was one thing that disappointed. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know too much about the gameplay or anything like that. I don't know what the trees are or how you can build up your characters. I'm guessing it's not class-based in the sense that other games are, where your characters can multi-class. I'm guessing they're more about the individual characters themselves, more like Other Side in that sense. Do you know?
Again, this is just straight from the team page. The Steam page. That I didn't even realize, like, when I was researching this, like, game has like a whole long story, which maybe either of you two guys might be familiar with. I'm just familiar with this game, but I'm not familiar with the story at all. But apparently it references the story and stuff. And like, if you're looking on the Steam page, you can see like anime style, like videos or cutscenes. And it looks like there's some sort of story to be told. But to Adam's question, it says, choose between iconic brothers in arms to create the perfect team. So I would imagine there's some sort of team. And like, looking at the shots, you can see characters in here, but I don't see more than two people, so maybe this is just a two-person tactical battle game.
On the map, there seems, I could have sworn that I've seen a couple different ones where they have more than just two people at a time, where you have your guys and then the tank. Yeah, here in the picture we have here, you can see three of the characters down at the bottom.
But see, I'm looking at that right now. I think, aren't the other guys just the enemies in that screenshot?
No, you got the guy in the red vest, you got the yes. girl right next to him, and then in the other corner is the blonde girl.
Where do you see that, though? Because I just see the guy in the red vest. Wait.
Let me get the mouse up here. No, you can't see
the mouse. Let me double check the picture. So, yeah, no, I'm looking at that picture. There's the guy. There's no girl next to me.
There's the red-haired girl.
Where do you see a red-haired girl? Andrew, do you see a red-haired girl?
I don't see the picture you're talking about.
You don't see the picture? Hang on.
No.
Yours is really tiny on your screen. It's super tiny, but yeah. So there's definitely three characters there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because like, looking at this on the Steam page,
at the guy, and then you go down and over a little bit, and then there's a girl. She's holding a gun. She's got like a little red thing coming out, her ponytail coming out. And then you go a little bit further over and a little up, and there's the blonde girl over there.
Yeah, yeah.
That to me, that looks, just because they're dressed in a similar style to the enemies, that makes me think that they are the enemies, though. So no, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
All right. Pretty sure we're looking at. Yeah, that's definitely the redheaded girl and the blonde girl. Yeah, that's definitely them.
Oh, yeah, looking at that, there's a blonde girl. Okay, so that is probably, hopefully they clarify that up before the game comes.
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure, but I do like Tactics. This reminds me a lot of Tactics Advance and the style, if you've ever played Tactics Advance on the Game Boy Advance, which I enjoyed. I thought they had some really good mechanics. The one thing that I didn't like about it, and it's going to bother me here, I know it as well. And I don't like it when they only have the one perspective. I liked being able to rotate the map, because I feel like when you do that, you can have more dynamic maps. When you do the Tactics Advance map, it's always, the back is always the highest point, and it's always a tier, scrolling down basically and getting lower and lower as you move lower down the map. And that's the only way you can do it, because otherwise things would be behind other objects and your perspective wouldn't allow for you to see certain things. I haven't seen anything here that you can rotate the map. Maybe you can. If you can, then great. But yeah, hopefully that'll be a thing. But given the style, it doesn't look like you'll be able to do that. And I know that's going to drive me nuts.
Or so.
No, Tactics Advance. They had a Final Fantasy Tactics Advance on the Game Boy Advance. They had Advance and Tactics Advance 2. Yeah, there is a game called Tactics Advance, I think, actually, now that I think about it. But I was thinking Final Fantasy Tactics Advance and then Final Fantasy Tactics Advance 2. So, yeah. But yeah, I love these SRPGs, and apparently a lot of them are coming out now. Was it Disgaea 6 Complete is coming out in the next month, and so is Relayer, which I'm curious about. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more of it. I haven't seen too much gameplay, or at least the gameplay that I've seen is just showing you the map, so it hasn't really gone into the mechanics of it. So I'm interested in looking into the mechanics of it.
Antoine, what's your take after watching some videos and reactions to the game?
A few things. First of all, we talked about Metal Slug, in our podcast about old 80s arcade. And as I mentioned before, I know Metal Slug because it was the only arcade in my school. We had a little place just for the older students where you had the arcade of Metal Slug. So everybody was crazy about it. And of course, that's how I knew it. And it was fantastic. And it slurped our coins like faster than possible through arcade style.
Hearing what?
Oh, that's weird. Is Antoine's voice clear?
Yeah.
Oh, no. This must be my headset. All right. Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, no, sorry about this. I don't think I have any microphone issue. But in any case, so it's a very energetic, very run-and-gun franchise IP. It's all about take your gun, run and shoot, and take your tank, very modern-style tank, and shoot every weird enemies you have in front of you. Could be a bit fantastic as well. And it's a really fun universe, very colorful. I really like the fact that in this game, they really took the color chart, I would say, of the old arcade game. It's really beautiful, and I'm really hyped about this. I have no clue about the story because for me it's boom and that's it. Otherwise, no, it's a dangerous move, I think, an interesting but dangerous move, because it's a bit like Sonic. It's all about like a run and gun, and here you are saying, oh, you're going too fast. Okay, calm down and make it a tactic. Okay, that could work. As far as I'm seeing, it's beautiful. I saw the animation in the videos. They are very much the same type of Metal Slug that we had before. So they really respect the universe very much. After, I'm not a big fan of tactical as much as you guys, especially because I was traumatized when I was a kid with some FF Tactics or Fire Emblem, because I don't know if you recall, but at the time when one of your characters dies, he dies. You level him up, and he made a mistake, and he dies. And I was traumatized with this because, for instance, but I'm very bad at it, and I always lose. And no, when you're sweating on your battles, thinking, how am I going to win this battle? I was more like, how am I going to win this battle without any of my guys dying? And I was like, it's too cerebral for me. I can't do that. So I had fun on Advance Wars on this. I'm not sure if you can. It's more like RTS than tactics. Maybe that's why I liked it more. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of tactics, so I'm not going to play this game, definitely. I'm going to watch if you guys play. Like I watch Adam play Other Side. It's not the kind of game that I'm going to play because I know I'm not going to enjoy it playing myself. But watching it, yeah, it's going to be very fun. So I really want to see what's going to be like.
Okay.
Great. Yeah.
I don't know. I wanted to ask you guys, like one of the things I noticed on the Steam page is it's a TBA. But on Nintendo, they're expecting it, I think, this is next year. So maybe that's why we're sparse on details at the moment. Do you think like a lot of these games like Final Fantasy Tactics or Metal Slug Tactics, they're an emerging genre because people don't have, these games are cool because you play one mission and then you're done. They're not a huge time sink.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps because there is the missions themselves can be a little bit meaty. You could definitely spend 5 minutes on them, but they definitely do have a very concise, this is when it starts, this is when it's over. So you can definitely be like, I'm going to knock out one battle and then just do it. And then there's a very clear point at which you're done. So I do think that is an appeal. Valkyria Chronicles was, I think, had a very similar thing in that where you do the mission and there's a very, it does help you manage time. You do have to feel out how long each mission is going to be though, because sometimes you might think, okay, this is going to be 5 minute mission and it ends up being 15. So you do have to consider, is this going to be a random battle, a boss fight? Because some are designed to be longer. But I definitely do think that it is good that you can just pick it up and put it down. It does give you that sense of, whereas like in maybe a JRPG or something like that, you know, where the story is continuously progressing, sometimes you don't feel like there's a good point to stop, because as soon as you get someplace, they're like, okay, well, now go do this. And it's not even like a, okay, good, you're done, move on to the next objective. It's, you know, oh, okay, thanks for delivering this, but could you carry this thing? So it never feels like the mission is finished. It always just feels like, it just feels more fluid. But yeah, and these is definitely like a start-stop point.
Yeah, no, I was playing, what is it, Ni No Kuni on the Switch. That's one of the things I hated, because there's like certain save points. And like you play, pardon, okay, I've got an hour to play. And maybe you got stuck on a battle or something like that. And then you're like, oh no, my time is up. Oh, I didn't make it to the next save point. Oh, sorry, redo everything again. Which is why like games that don't have save systems now, I can't do it. It's just not worth it for me. I don't know, what do you think, Antoine? Because you're pretty busy as well. How do you manage with saves?
Auto saves, of course, yeah. No, I wouldn't do a game where I need to manually save by, if there's fixed points to save, that's going to be very tough for me. I can't do that as well, because I can't just, if one of my kids hurt himself upstairs and something like that, I can't just say, oh, wait, I'm going to save and I come in a minute. No, that's not going to work. So, yeah.
I think that's one of the nice things that in modern consoles and PC too, if you have the save state kind of thing, if you put the PlayStation or the Xbox into sleep mode, then you can just power down and then bring it back and it's exactly where you left off. You don't have to worry about pausing. You don't have to worry about saving. You can just shut it down and then...
Yes. Yeah, that's why that I don't play Elden Ring, because there's no pause button in Elden Ring.
I don't understand that. Why, yeah. And then people, apparently you can pause, but what you have to do is you have to go into the menu and then go into like select tutorials or manual, or there's some thing that you can go in, like, go into settings. You have to go into the menu and then scroll over to settings. And then as soon as you open settings, the game pauses. So you can do it. It's just really, it's just not quick and it's not easy, and it's if you can do it, then yeah, I understand the idea of disabling it if you're in multiplayer. Okay, sure, that makes sense. Same with what was it like Korean was saying last time with the Sniper Elite, where they've disabled the kill cam when you're in multiplayer, so that makes sense in multiplayer, because you know it's not just your time. But in a single player game, I have no idea why you would not work.
It doesn't make sense at all. All right, so for this game, to fill out what the guys have said so far, available on Steam, available on Nintendo Switch, and pretty much everywhere, I think, at the moment. No price announced, and of course, there's no like Nintendo Switch page, which is why I've been talking about the Steam page as well, because Nintendo tends to not put out like pages for this game like on the Nintendo website until the game's like close to release or confirmed for release. My guess is it is going to be $20, I hope, but I have a feeling it's probably going to be like a full $59.99 Switch price, because this is a SNK title. So Adam's talked about a bunch of stuff. The developer is French, which is what I didn't know. I didn't realize Metal Slug is made in Paris by 20 people, I guess, the studios. I guess this game is made by this French studio based out of Paris. They got a license just to do this game. I guess there's a Nintendo Indie World coming up soon, I guess similar to what we talked about with the Bethesda showcase. So I guess summer is the time, right, where sort of people talk about the game drought, right? No new stuff coming out, and where a lot of the showcases are going to happen, or what people can expect and pre-order coming to things. The other thing, the French studio that is making this game, they were just recently acquired by Focus Home, and those are the guys who do City Skylines. They do a bunch of other like AA titles. I would even say City Skylines was like a AAA title, but they do a bunch of games. So it's cool that it happened. And like you start off with a small studio and then you're acquired by Focus Home, and Focus Home is like a $1 billion company as well. And so there are a whole bunch of other Metal Slug games, like again, referring to Steam charts at the moment. The most popular Metal Slug game on Steam at the moment is Metal Slug 3, which is, as of 11 minutes ago, 17 people were playing it on Steam. So not a massive amount, but... Then again, I think like this kind of game is wasted on a powerful PC with a 3080 or 3070 Ti. This is definitely more of a Switch style game, which is why I chose this for today. But that's it, guys. This is the game. Something to look forward to in the future. Maybe something to favorite or add to your Nintendo wish list, however you're keeping track of it. I mentioned our website Deku Deals before. And if you are interested, please let us know. We're checking Twitter at least once a week, or if I'm checking Twitter at least a few times a week. So please comment. I'm also tagging Adam very often. Adam always writes some interesting things, so you guys should follow Adam on Twitter. Antoine on Twitter, I have forgotten what his Twitter handle is.
I'm never tweeting and I never check Twitter, so forget about it.
All right, forget about it. The other thing to mention as well is, so next week, we were supposed to have a guest on today and maybe a permanent addition. He will be coming on next week. And next week, Adam is going to be, or we are going to be researching the game Soul Hackers 2, which I have never heard about, but Adam's going to fill us in on the juicy details next week. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about, what is Antoine's game? You told me about it and I forgot.
Fire Emblem Three Hopes, the Musou one. Ah,
I was like, I wrote the date, I didn't write the name. Fire Emblems.
Release end of June 26 or so.
So this, we'll be talking about this according to my calendar on June 15th. So just before the game comes out. Okay, and then Adam Arshi Adams. Anton's friend Eric is going to be joining us next week, and the week after that we'll talk about his game, and then my next game will be the end of June at some point. So housekeeping for today is, okay, so as usual, the quick question is, Adam and Antoine, is this a buy for you or a wait for a sale?
You mean the Metal Slug Tactics?
Metal Slug Tactics, yes.
For me, I'm going to say wait for a sale only because I don't know enough about the mechanics and that sort of thing. It depends. It doesn't seem, because I can see the videos and I can see them throwing grenades. I can see them shooting things. I would have to see what, and I know that there's some sort of synergy mechanic where they can sync up and multi-attack. But I think I'd have to see more gameplay, and then it might be a buy. But until then, I would say wait.
Okay. Antoine, you never buy games on release except Sniper Elite 5. But
unless it's a necessity for the show. It's not a buy for me because it's tactics. Otherwise, Metal Slug is a fantastic franchise, and I really think it's going to be a really good game, even though it's tactics, and I'm going to watch some stream of whatever French player plays it. And honestly, I think I would recommend it if you're into tactics. So it's a very niche game. You need to like it. And if you're like me and you love chess, but you're really bad at it, it's better to let the pro play and you just watch and enjoy. Otherwise, I would say buy, but it's a tactic. So sorry, guys.
For me, I mean, of course, it's a buy because I do like tactics game. I do think this is going to be one of those sort of like 15 to 20 minute missions. And I like the idea that this is Mario. They had Mario and the Rapids. They had this sort of tactics game. And I've got this, I bought it on the Switch. And it's pretty good, but there's a lot of story in between the game, and I don't like the story. And I feel like this is going to be like very low on story, more on the tactics stuff, which is awesome because story just drives me insane most of the time. Like in Dragon Quest Builders 2, there's a lot of like dialogue stuff now, and I'm just like, I'm not reading anything, which can be a bit detrimental at times. But yeah, no, and I'm also, I have the feeling recently, like I want to collect Switch games because I like the, even though there's literally just an empty freaking box and a tiny little SD card inside, there's no manuals, no cool anything, but I want to have the box for some reason. This would be a buy for me. And anything you guys want to end up with, any pearls of wisdom, anything about games or habits or things or news items you want to last quickly mention?
There's been some news. I've seen a lot of news recently. Nothing terribly interesting.
Antoine, anything you want to say?
Honestly, no. I just can't wait to have Eric join the show next week. And hopefully on a regular basis. And just say hi to Phil, who recently restarted playing on the FF14. And maybe I hope he's going to be able to join us either on Sniper Elite or whatever. Multiplayer is always done for multiplayer. Only issue is that me being in Canada, him in Taiwan, and he has a very different playtime than Korean and Adam. You know, he plays much later into the night, so it's always hard to find each other, but we'll see. I really want to start to do a multiplayer game with him as well, so we'll see how we can do that.
Yes, you just reminded me. So Adam and I will be streaming this week, Saturday, 10 p.m. Taiwanese time on Saturday evening. Saturday morning. Oh, we're going to try to anyway. Yes, exactly. We don't know. Like the consensus being, like we spoke to Phil as well. Phil has been having internet issues, which makes us think, given the hardware and disparities between ISPs, it must be like the sort of underlying issue between whoever does the backbone here in Taiwan. We're going to try at least, or maybe we just record it and then upload it later. Just upload the full stream as a video, just like we're doing. But yeah, no, keep an eye out for that. This could be Sunday breakfast TV while you watch us shoot people in the head in Sniper Elite. Yep, keep an eye out for that. Let us know what you think. If you have any questions, if you want us to discuss the game next week before we start. Otherwise, that is it. I hope you guys enjoyed today's show, and we will see you next week, Wednesday, to talk about Soul Hackers 2.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!